We welcome in Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM. Dave, are you a fan of like game shows? Do you ever like to play a game show? Did you want to be a contestant on any game show?
I'd like to try my hand at Jeopardy one of these days. Oh, I mean, I
would you be like Cliff Clavin?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I watch the show every now and again, and I try and keep a running tab of my score on my phone as we're doing it. And I try to be as honest as possible if I get the answer ahead of any of the contestants. And I don't know, sometimes I do okay, other times not as good. Like, it's all dependent on the categories.
Yeah,
well,
no, okay.
I'll be honest.
I know. But, hey, that, everybody's.
It would be fun.
Yeah, I get it. It totally would be fun. Okay, well, Dave, you can play in our game today. You can. So, okay. Connor McDavid has 34 points in his last 14 games.
Is that good?
It seems to be pretty good. Yeah. So, here we go. Actually, yeah, it's actually 33 in 12, but I'll just go with 34 and 14 just for fun. So, anyway, we'll go with the 34 points. So I'm going to give you a name, and you're going to say it has more points than McDavid's, 34, same or less. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so the first player, and this is their season totals compared to McDavid's. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start with an easy one. I'll give you Austin Matthews.
Less.
McDavid's less than Matthews. Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Less.
No, even. Nuge has 34
okay.
points.
Yeah, I'm figuring right around there, yeah.
Okay. Nino Niederreiter.
Oh, good one. I would say more.
No, even. 34 points. And Steven Stamkos.
Less.
Even. 34 points.
Oh, I'm not good at your game show.
Hey, Dave, it's okay. But I'm trying to illustrate, A, how ridiculous McDavid's 14. Like, Steven Stamkos, now, granted, he's been hurt. So, you know, there's a little bit of a trick question in there. But Nino Niederreiter's, like, a pretty good player. Right? Connor Brown. Like, these guys all have 34 points. And, you know, guy Jamie Benn's got 35. And Clayton Keller's got 35. Like, McDavid's almost matching these guys in 14 games. Like, it's the same as Cam Atkinson. Like, it's ridiculous.
It is bizarre. And here's the other thing that really hit me about Connor McDavid is that I think we're losing a little bit of the grandeur of this accomplishment because of the fact that he did it so close to the end of a season. And I think what happens is people forget the fact that even though it's the end of the season, you did it in 53 games right at the end of the season in a 56 game year. Can you imagine if he had done this, if he had got to 100 points on like February the 1st, when normally game 53 is, and then you look and you're like, oh my God, there's still 2 months of the regular season left.
Yeah.
I think that would really hit people. But because it's at the end of the season, even though the season is shorter, I'm still not quite sure if people are truly, truly appreciating what he just did.
What about his right-hand man, Leon Draisaitl? Talk about getting no love. I mean, he's having a great year, but he's not even, you know, I don't really hear a lot of people talking about him.
No, he's getting lost on his own team. And in any other year, he would be a candidate for the Hart Trophy. And I think you could probably make the argument he should be a nominee this year, along with Austin Matthews. And I guess we'll throw Connor in there as well. but yeah, not Sid or anything like that. As good as he's been, I don't know if he's in Hart Trophy contention. Just because, you know, what Matthews has done is really, truly unbelievable as well. 40 goals and he did it in 49 games. Come on, right? Like that's next level production. That's Hart Trophy caliber, because the hardest thing to do in the National League is to shoot it in the net, and Matthews does it just about every game. He'd be on pace for like 63, 64, 65 goals in a regular year. You do that, you're in the Hart Trophy conversation. But what Leon Draisaitl has done, and like no more of this, he's only doing it because Connor McDavid is playing with him. Well, he did it last year when McDavid missed a handful of games and really put the Oilers on his back. So he should be getting some love as well. If that's If I had to pick my top five Hart Trophy candidates right now, McDavid wins. It's not even a discussion. Let's stop the debate. Matthews would be two. Drysdale would be three. Crosby would be four. And then maybe Patty Kane would be fifth, but the Hawks kind of fell off. But what Patty Kane did was still pretty impressive this year.
Yeah, it's very good. Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM joined us. And, you know, Matthews, you know, what he did was great. Here's the thing. He's got 40 goals now in 50 games. He needs two because he's only got two more games left. He needs three goals in his next two games to match Ovi's best season when he had 43 goals in the first 52 games. So, like, he's doing something that someone did recently. Like, no one's come close to what McDavid did recently. Like, guys who did it were in the 80s or the 90s, right? Like,
yeah.
That's, to me, what makes it a little bit more special. Like, it's good what Matthews has done, and I love goal scorers. I think he's the best goal scorer in the game. But Ovechkin just did it in recent memory, whereas you have to go back to, like, Lemieux and Gretzky and Dion and Esposito to think of 100 points in 53 games. It's just crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, the last time a pair of teammates on the same team got 80 points in what was Edmonton, 53 games last night, you had to go back to 95-96 when Lemieux and Jagr did it. So that's pretty heady company. Not only is McDavid getting points, but game winners, he's got 11 this year. That's only one shy of Gretzky, two shy of Yari Curry for the team record of 13 game winners in a single year. So that's kind of company that McDavid is in right now. I really don't think people are truly appreciating this as much as they should, because it came at the end of a season. If he had done this in February, I think people would be going bananas over it.
Breaking down the NHL with Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM NHL. He's a host on there. Dave, listening to Paul Maurice today talk about his Winnipeg Jets, and I'm basically paraphrasing, but he said, to get our game playoff ready against either Toronto or the Oilers, who play fast, we've had to kind of go back to go forward. But, you know, they've really been struggling. So, you know, I get the sentiment, but is it almost too late in the year to try to change it and to try to get it going again before the playoffs? Or, you know, is that team, you know, battle hard enough to maybe turn it around?
Yeah, I heard that too. And while I get what he's trying to get at, I also think Paul, who's a really smart guy, like, he understands the marketplace, he understands the panic. I think he's trying to come up with something that's halfway believable to kind of calm the waters a little bit. I think that's really what that was getting at. But at the end of the day, even if you got to take a step back to go forward to kind of reform your game, you've still lost 9 of your last 10 games. You shouldn't have to go that far back. So it is concerning to me, and we're going to get another chance to look at the Jets tonight against Vancouver. It's difficult to assess teams at this time of the year. Like, last night they didn't dress Hellebuck. Hellebuck will play tonight. They don't have Ehlers. That's a huge loss. And I thought they erred, so to speak, in not upgrading their blue line at the deadline. Maybe there wasn't a deal there to be made, but that was an area of their team that I thought had some weakness, and they didn't really address it. And now, not only is that been a weakness, but it looks like they've got a crisis of confidence going on right now. They don't look to me to be the same confident team that they were for the first two-thirds, maybe three-quarters of the year. And it does concern me that it's happening right at the end of the year. I know you don't turn it off and turn it on like a switch, but when you're going to the playoffs feeling, you know, not so good about yourself, I mean, Strutty, you know, like, it's not a good position from a headspace standpoint to be in when you're heading into the time of the year where the games matter most.
Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM joins us. Jason Greger, Jason Strudwick. The Boston Bruins tonight are resting virtually like their entire team. I don't even know how they're doing this with the, the recalls and everything else. So I don't know. They must have a lot of guys on emergency recall or not. And I know they're taking on Washington in the next round, so maybe they don't want to risk anything. But is this going too far, Dave, when you're resting like 12 of your regulars?
I mean, I can't remember a scenario where we've seen anything quite this drastic before. is it too far? I mean, I guess if it falls within the rules and they're not violating the salary cap and somehow they're managing to dress a full lineup, unlike Vegas was able to do last night when they only dressed 15 skaters, I'm with you. I don't know how they managed to pull this off, get that many guys up and still fit under the cap, but if they can do it legally under the rules, I don't have a problem with it. Game doesn't mean anything. And the last thing you want is to have a guy of consequence injured in a meaningless game. You know, it comes back to the old question of rest versus, you know, trying to avoid injury but still getting a guy in the lineup. Where do you draw that line? It's really difficult. Some teams approach it one way. Some teams approach it another way. Like, the Leafs are not expecting to rest really anybody on Wednesday when they take on the Ottawa Senators. We'll see what they do in their final game on Friday. But I honestly, I don't really have a problem with it because at the end of the day, game's meaningless. So as a coach, I don't care if the folks who've got the game on their TV network that day are not too pleased. I don't, you know, my boss isn't the producer of that TV network. It's the general manager. And if, you know, I get a guy hurt who we're depending on to be a guy that really carries a load in the playoffs in a meaningless game, you know, then I got to answer to him. So probably, honestly, if I was a head coach, I don't know if I'd rest like 12 of 18 skaters, but I honestly wouldn't be adverse to resting guys in a meaningless game. I don't have a problem with it because I'm just thinking from a head coach's standpoint.
What do you make of some of the comments out of Buffalo with Reinhardt, Eichel, and Ristolainen, you know, being very noncommittal about their desire to return to be a Sabre next season?
Oh, well, noncommittal is a nice way to put it there, Strutty. I certainly didn't hear too much I want to stay. Did you?
No.
You know, so no. If I was a Sabres fan, that would be somewhat concerning. But when it comes to just Jack Eichel specifically, Kevin Adams is really in an unenviable position right now. Like, he is between a rock and a hard place. Because here you got a guy that's questioning the team in terms of how they've handled his injury, which is never a scenario that tends to end well. And the discussions of him maybe wanting out had already surfaced like a year, 18 months ago. We were having that discussion. And now it's come to the fore again. Well, how do you handle this if you're Kevin Adams? Because, okay, he wants to get traded. What are you going to get for the guy right now? He's coming off a year where he wasn't very good. Then he's gotten hurt. One doctor says, yeah, rehab should be good. Another doctor says, ah, we might need surgery. Okay, well, if I'm another GM, well, okay, I kind of want my doctors to have a look at him now. And, you know, a neck situation is a dangerous situation. Like, I don't know what I'm necessarily going to get once he gets back in the lineup. So am I going to pay you a king's ransom for Jack Eichel when otherwise he probably could command that? If I was another GM, I'd be pretty leery about giving up a whole heck of a lot. But if you're Buffalo, do you have a check? Like, can you even bring him back? I don't know. Like, that is a really difficult position. But I'll put it this way. It doesn't seem like Jack's future in Buffalo is long at this point, because what he said yesterday, like I said, I didn't hear an awful lot of, well, I'd really like to stay. I didn't hear much of that.
No, not at all. Davey, always good to catch up with you. Bone up on your Jeopardy, and who knows, maybe when you finally get on, Aaron Rodgers will be hosting.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it would be tougher to do that than Wheel of Fortune, where basically you get on and you just yell N or T, and chances are you're going to come up with the right consonant.
It's very true. Should we? What? Like, imagine if they got like a Lord of the Rings column for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, I've never watched Lord of the Rings. I don't know. You'd be surprised, despite the fact that I carry my staff.
Dude,
yeah.
Dude, like, how can you be a staff carrying member and not watch Gandalf the Grey? Like, dude.
Well, you guys have to expand your knowledge of staffs. I mean, Gandalf had a good staff, but he's not my inspiration. My inspiration is Fred Astaire, the legendary actor from the 30s. He also always carried a staff. And that's who I'm going for, not necessarily Gandalf.
Wasn't Fred's a little, like, as Astaire's a little bit shorter? Like, your staff seems, could you use it in the same regard as him?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have to cut it off?
He used it. No, he used it as a walking stick. I could use mine as a walking stick. His was black and white, though, because he always wore a tux. I'm not going to wear a tux all the time. That would look ridiculous.
Oh, but Dave, you know what? I'm expecting one of your videos then to have you in a tux with the ode to Fred Astaire. As a Struts and I will be waiting for. Well, go rent one. Get somebody out there to rent you one for the day.
Just for the Sunday brunch preview video.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. We'll promote it. That'll be great. Always good to catch up with you, Davey. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
See you, boys.